Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Thursday to you. This is the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. It is awesome to be able to come at you as usual every Thursday. Cigars with the Cave Show. We are here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, ready to get this bad boy rolling. A lot of stuff going on. NFL notes, cards, Suns. We got picks, Paul George news, J.J. Barea news, Harden news, fantasy football playoffs starting, and we have the one and the only Ed Cole, former digital media director for the Washington football team. We have all that going. I'm going to open up the phone lines a little bit today. So we are locked and loaded and ready to roll. Like I said, from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, it is Cigars with the Cave Show. It is Friday Eve, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Pop yourself down here. Definitely check out Maduro's. You can become a club member. Excuse me, I said a club member. A VIP member. Get you access to the members' lounge. You get a locker. It's backed up to a humidor. Your sticks will always be good. Listen, that is the place to be. There's a fridge. There's an ice maker. There's a ton of TVs. Relax. They have every single package. So come down here and watch all your sports from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you can't make it down, though, don't worry about it. Go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection. If you get your order in early enough, it will ship out the same day. All that's done right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, where they do serve beer and wine. And most importantly, I know PLR sent you. Get 10% off your cigar purchase. Again, that's Alma Schools and Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Everyone, loaded show today. Like I said, a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. Preseason basketball starts tomorrow. We're that close. The NFL playoff picture starting to get really clear. We're that close. College football is going on. College basketball is going on amidst COVID. I definitely want to jump into that as well today also. But let's first start out with a couple of phone calls. Calling number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. Kerry Lackey Law Line. Do have a couple calls on hold. Let's go at this one first. Thanks for holding. You're on The Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
All right. Yeah, and that Paul George deal, oh boy. Four-year extension and worth $195 million plus. Well, that's $228 million.
Not a bad day's pay, huh?
Not at all.
Well, he came out yesterday. Or was it Tuesday, and said, and he kind of set that up when he said he sees himself being a Clipper for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
And so he kind of got a feeling something was in the works. And again, like you said today, it was announced, 5-year extension, over $190 million. That brings his total package for what the Clippers are on the hook for him to $226 million. And, of course, in the NBA, everything is guaranteed.
Yeah, just like I thought. All right, so what do you make of with Ohio State actually getting into the Big Ten, even though it had a rule change? I mean, should they have made that rule change, or they should have just forgot about the whole Big Ten Conference play.
No.
The championship game, that is.
I didn't think so. It's all about money. Look, let me tell you something. The Big Ten didn't come back for football so we could watch Indiana play Purdue. That's not why they came back. They came back for real conference championship money, and they came back for a chance to play in the playoffs. And they only have one team, and that's Ohio State. Everyone keeps talking about the Big Ten, and everyone says, oh, well, Michigan. You know how many national titles Michigan's won in the last 50 years? I'll give you a guess. I'll let you guess before I tell you.
Last 50 years?
Last 50 years.
I think I lost count.
Okay, one and a half. They won one outright, and they had to split one. So people keep talking about Michigan. They're not a powerhouse. They're a very good team that wins about 9 or 10 games a year. Ohio State is that conference. They came back for Ohio State, and the money that Ohio State brings in and the eyes that Ohio State puts on that conference. Believe me, they didn't come back for Northwestern and Iowa. They didn't come back for the old Axe and Barrel or Green Jug or whatever the hell it is Minnesota plays Wisconsin for. They didn't come back for that. They came back for Ohio State. So if you come back for Ohio State and you don't adjust your rules to put them in your playoffs, in your conference championship game, to give them every opportunity to get to the playoffs, then, quite frankly, why the hell did you come back?
Okay, then why cancel Michigan, Ohio State? I mean, you know, because, well, you know, I mean, Michigan, because, you know, I mean, that kind of just wrecked the whole thing up.
Michigan has a COVID issue, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why they're not playing. Yeah, they can't get enough guys on the field. And even if they did, you know what Jim Harbaugh's record is now? Against Ohio State, he's 0-5, and against COVID, he's 0-1. So, what? Michigan can't beat Penn State. Again, rivalry games are 100% different. People will watch a rivalry game, and this is one of the most storied rivals. But for the last 5 years, it's not a rivalry. One's a hammer, one's the nail. When you're 0-5, that's not a rivalry. The bug never beats the windshield.
Yeah.
The windshield always beats the bug. So it's not, like I said, for eyes for that, that's one thing. For one game, they didn't bring Ohio State to play Michigan. They brought Ohio State in to get that bowl championship money, to win a national title, to at least have an opportunity to compete. So that's why they're back.
So
don't fool yourself.
Huh?
Okay, tradition is great, but Michigan can't fill the team right now. They have COVID. That devil has taken a hold of them.
I'm aware.
So they're not gonna postpone that game. Notice something: the Big Ten didn't postpone games; they canceled games.
Yes,
because they started so late. The SEC postponed games because they built in 2 weeks. Just in case something went wrong. The Big Ten didn't do that. They didn't build in anything. They got started late, and they had to meet all their dates. So once the game didn't go on. But the other thing they did, which was kind of crazy, they didn't leave room for teams to go out and get another team to play. And I think that's another thing that took a big bite in their butt. Because other conferences, they've done the infamous, well, if you can't play because another team has COVID, we'll let you go outside the conference and schedule. Big Ten didn't do that. They said they will only play Big Ten teams. They will only play within conference. And if a kid, you know, unfortunately catches it, they have it's a 14-21 day period before they can play again. So they, which is good in that they erred on the side of caution, but the flip side is, you left some teams out in the cold.
Well, you know, if people would just, you know, follow the rules, you know, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. But people wanted to get stupid.
Well, see, I think it's a little bit of both. You have You have 19-year-old young men, 20-year-old young men, 21-year-old young men who will have, you know, and I'm just going to be honest with you. That is the height of their testosterone. So you're asking a 19 to 21-year-old athlete at a major university to go in the celibate bubble for 4 months. Ooh, that's not happening.
Yes.
That's just not going to happen.
But
so you have that.
Though. For their own good, though.
But is it? I mean, yeah, so they don't catch, you know, not just COVID, to catch anything, but you don't have to be around other co-eds just to get COVID. I mean, there are people that are trying to abide by the rules and they still get COVID. So I think what they didn't factor in, and what I bet in all football that gets factored in next year, is asymptomatic COVID people versus people that are sick with COVID. And I think I bet you anything that'll be the difference for next year. But for right now, they're not taking chances. They could have got it from going to class. They could have got it from going to Best Buy, to Target, to anything.
The bathroom.
So anywhere. So I don't want to just label them as not following the rules, because they could have been following the rules and still got it.
But the majority, I would say they didn't follow it.
Yeah, for the majority,
not all,
yeah. But you know what? The majority, but still, we're asking a lot from some 19 and 20-year-olds. That's a lot to ask.
I know. You know, I guess they kind of remind me when I was 19, you know.
And Lou, the difference is, in the pros, you're losing your paycheck and you're messing up another man's paycheck. If you're 19 years old, 20 years old, and you're the fifth string safety and you're not playing, and you know that you're in school and you're never going to really play, and you have no hopes of the next level, and you're just trying to get your degree, it kind of changes everything.
It does.
So, but, all right, my friend.
All right.
Got to jump to this commercial and get Ed on. It's always good to catch up with you, and hopefully we can do this again tomorrow.
I hope so. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Good friend of the program, Lou. Bring this up with Ed when he pops on, because I definitely think there's a difference between college athletes and pro athletes and their level, their serious level, their seriousness level of what's going on, and the difference between getting your degree and getting out of school and having to take care of your family. Big difference. Anyway, this is the Cave Show with PLR. Back in a couple minutes.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The law office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the law office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend, and I said, "Hey, shut up." Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. Cigars with the Cave Show every single Thursday. Get your butt on down here at 4991, like I said, South Alma School. That's Alma School and Chandler Heights. If you ever miss any part of the show, make sure that you tune in to KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network, for our replay at 3 o'clock. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your favorite apps from. Also, just remember, every day you can hit sportscave.com to catch us live at 1 o'clock. Cave is with a K. Hit that listen live button and rock right to us, as you know, at 1 o'clock. We are heard live on VTR as well as KSRN. If you miss a show or do anything, you can always go to that same website at Sports Cave, Caves with a K. Hit that Listen Live button. It'll take you to a plethora of shows. Listen to one of your favorites over and over again, or find one that you happen to miss. No excuse, but you know what? We'll let it slide as long as you check it out, as well as on our website. We have a bunch of shows and some of our favorite interviews. So definitely check us out at sportscave.com. Now joining us on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on The Cave Show with TLR on Cigars with The Cave Show every Thursday, the one, the only, the man, digital media director with the Washington football team, Ed Cole, my brother. What's happening, sir? How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, bro. How you doing?
Good. And you?
Doing good, man. Rainy Thursday. I like rainy days like this where we can talk sports. Even though it's raining, we can still talk sports, right?
Yeah. Heck, if this was back on the East Coast, this wouldn't mean nothing. Get out there and slide right into mud.
Oh, yeah. Back to Chicago, yeah. Where you from, D.C., where I'm from. This is summertime.
Yeah. Well, maybe 40 years ago, slide right in that mud. Not now.
No.
It's a whole different story now.
A little too old for that. Yeah.
Yeah, but bones wouldn't react the same.
No, but, sir.
Hey, bro, we got a lot to jump into, but before we do, I want to ask you a question. So, good friend of the program, Lou, great fan, great listener, gives us a call every day, as loyal as you can get, and he mentioned something about colleges and kids and being irresponsible. And I said, you know what, I think that's true to a point, but at 19 to 22, and say I'm on a football team, but I'm a scholarship guy, but I know my chances of playing are slim until I get to senior day. And I know that I'm using football or basketball or whatever sport to get me into my next phase of life. I've got my scholarship. I'm good to go. I don't know if I'm going to have that same commitment to be put in a certain bubble as I would if I'm a pro and I know I have bills to pay. I know if someone else is trying to take my job. I know there's someone else behind me. I got a family. I got responsibilities. So I think my level of dedication is going to be different just because you're an adult versus a kid.
I agree. It depends on the kid itself, obviously. It depends on where you are as far as your career is concerned. Being a young man or a young lady, whatever professional sport, if you have aspirations to move on to the next level and play professional sports, and if you actually have that talent level to succeed, whether it be in any of the four major sports or in the WNBA or what have you, it all depends on what you see and what you envision for your life being after college. And if you actually know that you can succeed and you know that you're getting sniffs from the professional level, then I think you're going to conduct yourself and live your life a little bit differently, Paul, than maybe another athlete that says, well, after these 4 years are done, I think I'm pretty much done with sports. I don't think I'm going to move on to the next level, to the professional level. So maybe I may conduct myself a little bit differently, knowing that once my 4 years are up here or whenever I decide to give it up here, I know there's no moving on. There's no professional life for me. It just depends on the young man or young woman and their situation and where they are in their careers.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying. If I'm four-string safety, my level of dedication, I'm not saying it shouldn't be the same, because you still have to think about, you know, your brothers or sisters in the battle with you. But I definitely think there's a difference just in terms of, you know, maybe I forgot to put my mask on when I went into 7-Eleven. Maybe I forgot to put my mask on when I ran to the grocery store real quick. And then when I stop to think about that, I start to think, well, wait a second. Almost every store requires you to wear a mask. So for the kids that are getting it, they're not getting it probably in those places. It's coming from the dorms or from a weekend hanging out or a party. I think it's coming more from that, and that's why I think you have a difficulty with kids. Hell, we saw the Cardinals and the Miami Marlins, when the season first started in baseball, have a problem with that. These are grown men with the paycheck popping up at strip clubs. So I think it's a lot. If it's hard for a grown-up with responsibility, you know it's going to be hard for a 20-year-old with hardly any responsibilities.
Yes, and they're at a different maturity level. We know there's some 20, 21, 22-year-olds that are supremely are absolutely gifted, mature than probably a lot of their peers are. And I think it also has something to probably to do with their upbringing, how their parents or maybe lack of parental guidance led them to where they are in the situation where they are in. And again, it comes down to each and every individual young man and young woman on how they choose to live their lives. And I think a parental guidance, like you and I, we're fathers. We do everything that we can for our four sons. I mean, we'll lay our lives down. We'll do everything that we can. We'll teach them every single step that we can to raise them up to once they hit 21 years old and they're out there on their own and they're living their own lives and they can't depend on us anymore because they're grown folks and they should be able to have jobs and provide for themselves and eventually for their families later on down the line. That's how I see it from my vantage point.
Yeah, and like I said, I just think it's tough, and I just hate to say kids are necessarily being irresponsible when we see polls every day. I mean, they got into the Baltimore Ravens locker room. They had four different strands, and those weren't players being irresponsible. It got in the locker room. That's supposed to be your safe haven. So I'm just real leery about it being, you know, about kids being so responsible, because then they're adults. And when they're adults, if they're adults playing, then freaking pay them. Because these are kids, last I checked. So,
right.
But anyway, mm-hmm. I wanted your opinion on that before we moved on. And on the Kerry Lackey Law Line with me, the one, only Ed Cole, former digital media director over at the Washington football, NFL football team. And you know him from everywhere here in this valley doing everything. And, of course, you know him from Inside Sports. Okay, Ed, so I got to ask you this, man. I'm getting kind of tired of all this nonsense. And I know we were going to stick more to pros, but this is something that's really bugging me. There are certain teams, and I'm not going to pick on the New York Knicks, so I'm not going to call out the New York Knicks by name or talk about how the New York Knicks think more of themselves than they should, because I promised today I wasn't going to pick on the New York Knicks at all or say one bad thing about the overrated Knicks and their feel that they're better than any other team because they play in New York in Madison Square Garden, even though they haven't won a championship in almost 50 years and only really fielded two competitive teams. So I'm not going to say anything about the Knicks that would be misconstrued as we picking on that sorry but team from New York. So we're clear with that, right?
Yeah, crystal clear.
So the Big Ten redid their rules so Ohio State could have a real opportunity to make the playoffs and win the Big Ten. And we have everybody up in arms now over this. And the Big Ten didn't come back for the green bucket battle between Purdue and Indiana, or the axe in the tree game between Minnesota and Wisconsin. They didn't come back to that. They came back to play football because there's one team in that conference that plays football. And it's not Michigan, who's won 1.5 titles in 50 years. It's not that team. It's the Ohio State Buckeyes. In an era of COVID where you have to keep everything fluid, why are there people complaining that the Big Ten changed the rule to get Ohio State an opportunity to go off and win some real money for their conference?
Paul, this is the number four team in the country, and why are people up in arms because the Big Ten had to change their rules that teams must play six games? Ohio State's played five games. How can you not have the number four team in the country, a legitimate national championship contender, how can you not have them in your Big Ten championship against Northwestern just because they played one less game than what their rules originally stated before they made the change? Of course they would have to make that change. There's no way that the Big Ten could not have their best football team in their conference, not in the championship game, just because they played one less game than what the rules stated. Why are people upset about that? You have to have Ohio State in there. I mean, come on, goodness.
You said something that I find even worse than that, Ed. You said their best team, their only team. They're the only team year in and year out that is truly a good team in the Big Ten. When everyone talks about Big Ten football, no, it's Ohio State. You know what? I'm going to steal this line from Charles Barkley. It's Michael Jackson and a whole bunch of Tito's. There's no team in the Big Ten that's consistently competitive outside the conference. There's one team. So they would be asinine. It would be asinine not to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, Indiana's really good this year, and obviously we know Northwestern's really good. Obviously that's why they're facing Ohio State, but Penn State's down. Nebraska hasn't been. When's the last time they've been good? That was that Tom Osborne days?
When they were in a different conference. How about that?
Yes.
When they played in a different conference. So, please explain it to me. I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, Wisconsin's been like historically good and relevant, but obviously this year they're 2-2, so that's they're pretty much having a down season. It's a crazy year with COVID and having all these kids having to change up their preparation styles, all these Zoom meetings and all these kids coming down, you know, positive, players, coaches, teams having to rearrange their schedules and shorten their schedules because of this COVID-19 situation. It's just one of those crazy years that these teams have to work through and live through. But Ohio State is rolling strong at 5-0, and they're going to face Northwestern at 5-1. That's basically what it is. Will Ohio State win this Big Ten championship and move on?
We all know Motown. We all know Motown.
Yes,
but we know there were some hitters at Motown. Would you trade Diana Ross and the Supremes, all their albums, for the Marvelettes? Hell no. And that's what they're talking about. What's fair for the Marvelettes? I don't give a, you know what? What's fair for the Marvelettes? I know I'm going to do what's right for Diana and those Supremes, though. I know that. So don't give me that nonsense. Ohio State is feeding you. That's where your money's coming from.
Yep.
And they're up here talking. People up here come like, well, look what they did for Ohio State. Yes, there's a reason why Alabama can lose one game. And even though it may not be fair. And that they bend over backwards to help Alabama. But you know what Alabama does for ratings?
They make big money.
They bring money. Look.
Yep.
If your son was offered a football scholarship and the coach from Alabama called, you going to let him take that call?
Yep. Absolutely. If Nick Saban is calling Cameron, you damn right.
Okay. What if I tell you Mississippi State or Arkansas wanted him too, and he has to take only one call? You going to hit pass. You going to ghost those other two calls.
I'm gonna send no disrespect to Mississippi State and Arkansas, but I'm gonna send you guys the voicemail.
Ed's being polite. Damn you, Mississippi State and Arkansas. I'm disrespect meant. I'm not taking the call. Disrespect meant. let me just be real. Yeah, I'm gonna disrespect you and I'm gonna ghost the call. It is just that simple. I'm hitting ignore.
Okay.
Shoot. And hold on, man. We got to jump the commercial real quick. We're going to come back, and we're going to finish this up in 30 seconds. This is a Cave Show with PLR. Cigars with the Cave Show right here on every Thursday live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Make sure you're following us on all the social media, on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sports Cave Caves with K. SportsCave.com is the website, again, Caves with K, and my Twitter is PLR on Sports. On with me on the Carry Like You Line, the one only Ed Cole. Ed, what you know about this Phil assignment? What you know about that?
Boy, you had to pull out Phyllis on this one, huh?
Yeah. What you know about that? You know, a lot of cats don't know about that. What you know about that one?
Man, please. I was bumping Phyllis back in the day.
All right, I'm just making sure, because you know you're out here in AZ. You could have been, you know, I figured you were like. Bumping Jim Blossoms and Beck. I know you're getting down like that.
No, they ain't in my playlist.
Oh, man, it's good to have my man on, the one only Ed Cole. So let's jump to the NFL. I want to talk a little bit of the cards, and not so much of a preview of a game that's coming up, because we know they have the Giants. We know the Giants are probably the one team in the NFL that no one wants to face. Quiet, it's kept right now, but I kind of want to just talk Cardinals as an overview. And when you look at the season, are you happy with where they are, disappointed in where they should be, or are you just here we go with the Cards again? Where are you on that spectrum?
Before the bye week, I was happy where they were at 5-2, but now I am upset and I'm really disappointed at the way they've played since the bye week for the month of November and the first part of December. With that Rams game, they've lost 4 out of 5. They've looked like a completely different football team since the bye week, and I really think that teams have figured out and studied Kyler Murray and how to defend against him and stop him. And the Seahawks and the Patriots and now the Los Angeles Rams have figured out a way to stop him. And his numbers aren't where they are. We know he was dealing with a bum shoulder, with a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. So that clearly affects what a quarterback can do as far as his mobility and what Kyler's able to do as far as throwing the ball and being able to put velocity on his balls. But Kyler hasn't been the same. The running game hasn't been the same. Kenyon Drake had less than 50 yards rushing against an outstanding Los Angeles Rams defense on Sunday. That's the second-ranked defense in the National Football League. They were on display in full effect on Sunday at State Farm Stadium. And not having Larry Fitzgerald for the last 2 weeks because of the COVID-19 virus, I think from a leadership standpoint, and from a production standpoint, you know, we know Larry's not going to put up DeAndre Hopkins numbers, but he's still effective, even at 37 years old. But not having Larry Fitzgerald there from a leadership standpoint, I think really hurt the Arizona Cardinals. And the defense, Jared Goff just sliced that defense up on Sunday to 351 in a touchdown. Him and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and they've got so many weapons there. They just sliced and diced up the Arizona Cardinals defense. So they've been completely different than where they were in the first 7 weeks of the season. And they, again, like you said, Paul, they've got to go cross country to East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's going to be cold, and you're facing a New York Giants team that is on an absolute roll, winning 4 straight games. They're tied with Washington for first place in the NFC East. A team at one point, Paul, halfway through the season, they were 1-7. And they were still in contention, but they've won 4 in a row, and now they're in first place with Washington. So that's not going to be an easy game to go to MetLife Stadium and beat the New York Giants.
I'm looking at this from a macro point of view. I'm going back to my corporate days. I'm hovering over the Cardinals, and I'm macro on it. I know Kyler Murray hasn't looked the same. Like you said, I know his shoulder was banged up. But macro is telling me this isn't Kyler Murray. Macro is telling me it's not necessarily the defense. Macro is even telling me that it's not even necessarily the running game. Macro is telling me that last year I saw a first-time pro head coach who struggled to get into the NFL game and then finally got into a groove. Now what I'm finding is a head coach that had a punch, but now he doesn't quite know how to counterpunch. And I'll use this equation and I'll look at this in terms of basketball. How many rookies have we seen come in and look really, really good? And then they get figured out. But they don't have a second move. They don't have a go-to move. So they stay figured out. But then how many times have we seen a rookie where they get that second move? So when the NBA figures out that move, now they got a go-to move. So they don't decline, they improve. My macro is telling me that Cliff hasn't got a go-to move yet because he hasn't found an identity for this team. I mean, what are the Cardinals? Defensive team, running team, passing team, Kyler Murray, RPO team. And then I blame that on the coach there because the coach sets the culture and sets the tone and sets the mood and shows how to counterpunch. Is it fair for me to macro look down and say, I put this more on Cliff Kingsbury than anybody else?
No. And his counterpart from Sunday, Sean McVay, went through the exact same thing. First season in L.A., he went 11-5. They went to the wild card game. The second year, they went 13-3. Obviously, went to the Super Bowl and lost to the New England Patriots. The third year, after that, teams figured out how to scheme against Sean McVay in the Los Angeles Rams because it was the way he ran his offenses and the way he ran his team was something that teams hadn't seen before. Third year, he was 9-7, and everybody's like, "Oh, well, I think everybody. Well, I guess the NFL's figured out how to stop Sean McVay, and." Maybe Cliff Kingsbury is going through the same thing from a macro standpoint where early on in the season, like we saw the Cardinals offensively kind of were able to throw the ball. Kyler and DeAndre were able to hook up. Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds were able to run the ball. They're still one of the best running teams in the league. I believe still number four in the league. But over time, these defensive coordinators, these teams are able to study their tendencies. They're able to study what Cliff Kingsbury is doing play call-wise and what Kyler Murray's tendencies are and what he likes to do and what he doesn't like to do and how to defend against DeAndre Hopkins. You saw it on Sunday. Hopkins only has 52 yards receiving, targeted 13 times, only got 52 yards receiving. So it's not that difficult. It's not that much of a stretch to say defensive coordinators have really figured out a way to defend against these guys and stop the Arizona Cardinals. And this is something that Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to counteract if he wants his guys to actually make a run and actually make the playoffs. Because now they're behind the Seahawks and the Rams in the division. They're 6-6. They're fighting with the Minnesota Vikings for a playoff spot. If it ended today, the Cardinals will be out because Minnesota's the number 17, and they're the last team to make the playoffs.
And let me ask you a question. I'm Kerry Lackey Lawline, the one and only Ed Cole, Inside Sports, former media, digital media director for the Washington football team. Let me ask you this question. Matt Nagy was known as a quarterback whisperer. How's he doing with that?
Not very well.
Okay. Adam Gase was known as a quarterback whisperer. How's he doing with that?
Worse than Matt Nagy.
Bill Belichick is a defensive guy. He has no wide receivers. They can't separate at all. They can oil and water wouldn't separate those wide receivers.
Right.
Mike Tomlin, defensive guy, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Isn't it funny how when you focus on defense, your offense comes together? But when you focus only on offense, you struggle on the other side. And I'll go back to this. Do you remember when the Denver Broncos brought in Peyton Manning? And they had that 1 year where he threw like 70 touchdown passes. But then they lost and the Super Bowl got blown out. Then they came back and they focused on defense. And guess what they did in the Super Bowl? They won. Then you have the Cleveland Browns
killed Carolina.
Who said, we're going to get a quarterback whisperer to help Baker Mayfield. Then we get Stefanski that comes in, and he says, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to focus on defense. And that team is now 9-3. We have McVay, who came in, and they said, offense, offense, offense. Who's number one defense in the NFL right now? The Rams. So, is it fair to say we could talk this offensive crap all we want? We can talk different offense, quarterback, whisperer, run and shoot, can move, shim and shammy, whatever you want to talk. But until you get your defense right, you don't win in the National Football League. At what point, macro-wise, do we start to realize that? Especially here in Arizona.
I mean, look no further than the Seattle Seahawks, the team in their division. I mean, they've got one of the worst defenses in the league outside of the Dallas Cowboys. They can't stop anybody as far as their defense is concerned. near the bottom, but for some reason they're 8-4 because they got Russell Wilson, and Russell does Russell things, and he's just amazing. But you're right. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 11-1 primarily because their defense is outstanding. Buffalo is 9-3 because they've got Josh Allen. He's just a freak of nature. You saw what he did against the 49ers on Monday night. Just destroyed them in Glendale. Look at the Miami Dolphins. They're based around defense. Brian Flores has got those guys kicking at 8-4. They're nipping on Buffalo's heels. So I agree with you. Defense, man, yeah, you're right. Defense wins championships. Kansas City doesn't have the best defense in the league, but we know they've got.
But they're good.
We know they've got the $500 million man. They're very. They're good.
But
yes.
They're
not.
But
they're
good.
They're not the best defense in the league. They're good. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the thing that we always focus on. Someone said the other day, and I don't know if it was Damian Woody or whoever. Or no, you know what? Actually, it was someone that I know that played in the league, and I can't think of their name. Anyway, they said, you keep talking about – No. Someone I was talking to, I was trying to avoid saying where I was when I was talking to them.
But
since you're calling me out,
okay.
I was smoking cigars. But they said, we keep acting like Bill Belichick doesn't know offense. We keep acting like Mike Tomlin don't know offense. If they didn't know offense, their defense wouldn't be so good. The only reason their defense is good is because they know offense. So maybe Cliff needs to lean on that just a little bit more. But Ed, before we get up against this break, I want to stick in town. I want to stick in Phoenix, but I want to switch sports and switch to the Phoenix Suns, who has their first preseason game in a couple of days. And they've had a bunch of meetings. They've had a bunch of practices. They've had a bunch of meetings with the media. Monty Williams said something. Out of all the things that he said, one of the things that stuck with me the most is how versatile this team is now, not just offensively, but defensively. You now have a Damian Jones backing up a DeAndre Ayton. You now have a Jay Crowder coming in and backing up. And you already have Mikal Bridges, who led the team in minutes, being able to guard just about any position on the floor. And now you can interchange him with Cam Johnson, who's a better defender than he was. What do you see going into this first preseason game with this young team that has added veteran pieces and this, this Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, that is a dog on offense and defense, and Chris Paul? What do you see for this team?
Yeah, I like him, Paul. I like what James Jones and Monty Williams has done to get this Phoenix Suns team together and keep them on the roll that they had in Orlando. I know that was a while ago, but what they've done to add pieces, like you said, a Jay Crowder and a Damian Jones and bringing in CP3, a bona fide first ballot, HOF, just like you said. I like the pieces that they added to go around DeAndre and Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges, Javon Carter and all those guys. I like that they've got more depth, like you said, more flexibility, more veteran leadership, more experience. Obviously, Jay Crowder's got the ultimate of experiences, having been in the NBA Finals not too long ago. Just it seems like a matter of weeks ago. So Jay's going to come in and bring that intensity, that veteran leadership from a defensive standpoint. And he's also good. The young man can also shoot three-pointers as well. So Jay Crowder can light it up when he needs to, but defensively he's going to be a force there, and that's going to help out Chris Paul, because we know CP he's going to get up in people's you-know-what, starting against the Utah Jazz, starting with the preseason games. And I can't wait for the 23rd when the Dallas Mavericks come to town to really kick this thing off, and we see what the Phoenix Suns can do over 72 games.
Yep, 72 games.
Yep.
32 games. And I will tell you this.
What do you think, Paul?
I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a 5 or 6 seed. I do for sure.
Yeah,
and I'll wait until we get right before the season before I give how I think everyone will fall. But I definitely think they're a 5 or 6 seed. I definitely think Devin Booker's first All-Star game last year was the kickoff to being a perennial All-Star every single year. And I like this team. I like what Monty said. He said, I don't have expectations for what everybody's going to do until the ball rolls out. I don't have I know that, he said he's going to try to get Book and DeAndre and those guys, Chris, 15 minutes or so in the first preseason game and kind of build them up.
Aiden as well, and then just kind of take it from there. And I like this team. I like the direction that this team is going in, and I think they have the right leadership all the way down. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you this question before we get into NFL picks. Since James Jones has come to town, have we even heard these two words? Or I'll just say, excuse me, one word. Have we even heard the name Sarver getting involved in anything?
No. Which is great.
He stepped out
because he stepped way back behind the scenes, and he's like, he knows that James Jones has the championship pedigree. He won 3 world championships, so the man has a resume that rivals almost anybody in the National Basketball Association. So why not give the keys to James Jones? Give him a set of keys. Give Monty Williams another set of keys to the Lamborghini, which is the Phoenix Suns, and let those guys roll and make the decisions they need to make. And Robert Sarver can sit back and say, okay, you know, you need me to pay for. Oh, I need to sign off a check for what? Okay, for a new facility. Okay, fine. I need to kick out some money for upgrades to the arena. Fine. I need to kick out money to bring in Chris Paul. Fine. And then you guys do the rest. I believe in you. I trust you.
Sponsors, I'll make it up to you on the commercials tomorrow. We're going to blow by this one.
We're going to get in the picks.
Sorry for what? We are good. Before we get in the picks, we got to introduce them. It is time for those NFL picks. Ed probably don't know who that was. That was a little bit of that Morris Day and the time. I keep hitting him up with stuff that he probably,
man,
you know. Let me go ahead and get my disclaimer that I give every week that Ed does these picks with me. Ed is a straight-laced guy. I have tried over the last 10 years, but this man will not lead a life of debauchery. He leaves that to me. So the picks that he gives you will be strictly for entertainment purposes only. I, on the other hand, am trying to put a little change in your pocket. So, with that being said, we kick it off game tonight. New England goes to L.A. The Rams are favored by 4.5. After you, Ed.
Bruh, if the Patriots play in that same building, SoFi Stadium, like they did a few days ago against the Los Angeles Chargers, clearly the Chargers are a different team than the Rams are, then I think they've got a good chance to beat the Rams tonight. But I Cam cannot throw for 69 yards against the Rams tonight, not against that number 2 defense, and expect to win. I got the Rams winning tonight. Their defense is too good.
I got the Rams winning. I got the Rams covering. That 4.5, go ahead, put a little change on that game. Dallas goes into Cincinnati, and the whole gives a crap game of the week. Cincy's favorite at home by 3.5.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go with Dallas because I don't know. just the Cowboys. Andy Dalton, in his first return to Cincinnati, I think he's gonna play well just like he did against Baltimore, and I think the Cowboys are going to win this game because the Bengals are that bad.
And for too much thought on this, Dallas is going to win 3.5. Next game, KC, Miami. in Miami, KC's favored by 7.
Miami's favored by 7?
KC's favored by 7.
Okay, KC's favorite at 7. Yeah, I'm going with Kansas City on the road. I think the Dolphins will keep it close. Brian Flores is going to have his guys ready for Patrick Mahomes and those guys. But Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and all of his weapons, they're going to pull some magic off like Patrick always does. I got Kansas City, got that one.
I got Kansas City winning this game, but I have them not covering. Miami, South Beach does something to you when you get down there. Ooh, some different types of scenery in Miami. So, give me KC, Miami to cover the points. Minnesota goes Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay favors by 6.5. Who you got?
I got Minnesota winning that one. Tampa Bay has not played well at home. They've lost 3 straight games at home, a couple primetime games to New Orleans and the Los Angeles Rams. I got Minnesota. They're on a 5-game winning streak. Make that 6 in a row.
Tampa Bay is coming off of a bye at home. Everybody in Tampa mad at the world. Brady's rested. Old people need to rest. After old people rest, they come out and look good. Give me Tampa by 6.5. I got them to cover. Denver, another who cares game. And if you take a minute on this one, me and you going to battle. Denver goes to Carolina.
Don't nobody care.
Carolina.
Carolina's favored by three. Carolina by three. I'm with you. Denver sucks. I could play quarterback for them. Tennessee goes to Jacksonville. Tennessee's favored by 7.5.
That's it? Against a 1-11 team on the road? Tennessee.
Tennessee's pissed. Henry might run for 400 yards. Give me them to cover. Indianapolis goes to Vegas. This is a good game. Indy's favored on the road by three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Vegas coming off that big win over the Jets. That win with 5 seconds left. But I'm going with Indianapolis to win on the road. That defense is really good, and I think they're going to hold serve in Las Vegas.
Gruden has their ears. Indy is right now. They're probably out at the casino gambling away all their money. Give me Las Vegas to win outright. They're a dog, so I don't have to worry about points. The Jets go to Seattle. Seattle's favored by 13.5. Anything?
I think they'll win by 27. They'll double that.
There you go. Easy.
Seattle. Come on.
Easy. Seattle, easy. New Orleans goes to Philly, favored by 6.5.
Oh, I'll go with New Orleans. Jalen Hurts is going to have a whale of a time against the number one defense in the league. Oh, it's New Orleans all day on that one.
Boy, Philly is throwing in the towel. Atlanta goes to L.A. in another who-gives-a-crap game to play the Chargers. They're favored. This is how bad Anthony Lynn is doing. His team is not even favored at home against Atlanta. Atlanta, 2.5 road favorite. Who you got?
Wow, I got Atlanta in that one. I feel so bad for Justin Herbert and Anthony Lynn. I mean, he's a good football coach, but they have just fallen on hard times. I got Atlanta winning that one. Chargers are going to lose their 10th game.
I got you with Atlanta, too. I don't feel bad for Anthony Lynn. He's had his chance. He keeps poo-pooing it away. He's a coordinator, not a coach. I got Atlanta, too. The Washington football team, your boys, come here because they can't go to San Francisco, and they play San Francisco, who's favored by 3 points.
I got my boys winning that one, going to 6-7, and whatever happens with the Giants game, we'll talk about that. But Washington's going to beat the 49ers in Glendale, right up the road at State Farm Stadium. I got Washington. I got my boys.
I'm with you, too. Don't have to get points because they're going to win. Pittsburgh goes into Buffalo. Buffalo is favored by 2.5.
That's a good Sunday night game, Paul.
That's a beautiful Sunday. And it was flat. So, who you got in that game?
I got Steelers losing their second straight game. I got Buffalo winning this game. I think Josh Allen's going to come out and play well, even though that Steelers defense is really good. Buffalo's going to win this one.
You are 100% correct. Buffalo's going to win. Pittsburgh isn't even going to finish with the number one seed, nor the number two seed. Buffalo will catch them and end up with the number two seed in the AFC, and they're going to start it by beating Pittsburgh, who can't run the ball at all. Buffalo wins. Monday night game is dead even. Baltimore goes into the dog pound, plays Cleveland. Who you got?
Ooh, goodness gracious. I got Baker and the boys going to 10-3. I think they're going to beat Baltimore. I don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to have enough to keep with Baker all night long at the dog pound in Cleveland on Monday night. I got Cleveland.
If picking this game is wrong, I don't want to be right. Give me Cleveland over Baltimore at home. Bake is cooking. He's going to keep it cooking. Arizona goes to MetLife, and they are favored over the Giants by two. Who do you have?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I know the Giants, they're going to make it as sloppy as possible in East Rutherford. It's going to be cold there. I think the Giants are going to win that one. Honestly, Paul, this is five straight for them. I see the Giants winning this game, and the Cardinals falling to 6-7. They'll actually have the same record as the Giants.
Book this game. This is my lock of the week. The Giants win this game outright, and they beat the Cardinals. And then in the last game, Houston goes into Chicago. They are a 4-6 team, and they are favored by a point. In Chicago, a dome team going on the road in cold weather, and their favorite. Who do you have?
Of course, they'd be favored against your Chicago Bears, who've lost six games in a row. I'm going with Houston.
Okay, let me stop this music. First off, I don't like the way you start.
What?
You see, I have to stop the music.
What?
Huh? Yeah, I usually have music playing in the background. I had to stop the music. Because it's one thing to say, I pick Houston, or I think Houston's a better team. You said, of course. See, I didn't like that. I didn't like the way you insinuated that.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Well, see the difference between, I think Houston's going to win, the Bears are slumping. Yeah, but you started with, of course. You use of course with things like, of course it's going to be 100 degrees in the summer in Arizona. Of course it's going to snow in Alaska. Just for that, I was going to pick Houston. Now I say the Bears are going to win just because that was so indignant the way you picked Houston. And those are your picks.
Well, you missed the game, Paul. You missed Aaron and the Packers in Detroit. You missed that one.
Oh, I did. I apologize. Green Bay is going to beat the hell out of Detroit. How's that?
Yeah, Green Bay is going to beat the you-know-what out of Detroit. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. 7.5 favorites. Make it 14. All right. We have a minute and a half to do this. James Harden wants out of Houston. James Harden, I say, will not bounce a ball in Houston again. He will end up in Philadelphia. Your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. He is done there in Houston. Clearly, he does not want to be there. He hasn't showed up to any practices or anything like that. He's got to pass six. He's got to go negative on six straight COVID tests. That's not going to happen. He probably won't pass one of them because he's not going to show up for those tests as well. Yeah, he's going to be a Philadelphia 76er, and he's going to be with Doc Rivers up in Philly. He is done in Houston.
J.J. Barea, Mark Cuban showed class. Signed J.J. Barea, one more contract. Your thoughts on Mark Cuban doing that for J.J.?
I like that. Yeah, give J.J. one more chance to go to Dallas and you know, at least end his career with the Mavericks again. He's played for them clearly. But, yeah, I love what Mark Cuban's done. He's just – he invests so much money, even though he knows – he claims he's going to lose $100 million this year because there's no fans or little to no fans this season. But he still brings in J.J. and gives him one more contract to finish out his career. I think that's a really classy move by Mark Cuban. Despite everything that's going to happen with him financially and from a business standpoint, yeah, bring J.J. back for one more year.
LBJ was named Athlete of the Year. Dude should have been MVP. And we know that when it comes to me comparing, I always say there's no comparison between him and MJ. But I think they're starting to hold this guy now. Congratulations on Athlete of the Year. But dude was MVP. Mm-hmm. And I think when I always say the only thing better at 43 than 42 is Scotch, LeBron James, I think, will win MVP this year. And I think it kicked off with that. Your thoughts? 30 seconds.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he was the MVP of the league. Yeah, Giannis had a great season, but yeah, LeBron was the MVP of the league, and if he leaves this team to a fifth world championship, yeah, then that talk of him and MJ gets a lot stronger.
Okay, see, there you go again. See?
What
you
again?
Did it again. Okay. Paul George, 190 plus. Yeah, I'm just going to keep
190
on
million.
190 plus.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? 190. Good deal? Clippers smart
good for
move?
Him.
Good
for him. $190 million. The boy got paid. Let's see what he can do. Will he deliver? Hope he plays better than he did in the playoffs last season.
For that MJ comment, you get the off the wall. Just so you know, because that comment was off the wall. Where can they find you at, bro?
Instagram at EdwardCole301. Twitter at EdCole43. Don't run from the truth, Paul. Don't run from the real. Don't run from the real. Please
Ed, you forgot something. Every Monday you tape
Inside Sports Talk with Joanna and you, Paul, when you're not busy.
I did make a drive-by a couple weeks ago, though. And I'm sorry, but you know what? I had to upstage you this last week. I apologize. I shot high. Anyway, you catch us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with the K. Sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. I'm at PLR on Sports. Thanks for joining us. Maduros, thank you for hosting us on Cigars with the Cave Show. Come in, Ron and Tina will make you sure you get to the right cigar. My brother, I appreciate you. We're on the clock. So as I say, Temps, bring us home.